Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of V Magazine, and about a year ago, we founded this podcast because we wanted to show a new layer. We wanted to showcase the people in the magazine that we were writing and talking about, and we wanted to get to know them better so that you could know them better. And today, I have the great privilege of introducing you to Lindsay Tobias. She is a lot of different things and all very exciting. And a few of them are certified holistic health coach, an exercise physiologist, an artist, a health coach, a nutritionist, soon to be author, and a speaker. So Lindsay, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited that we met recently and that you are able to share your story with us. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. This is a dream.
You're so welcome. So we'll tell the audience how we met a short little while ago, getting a manicure in a salon on a Saturday, and we were sitting next to each other, and somehow the conversation we introduced ourselves to one another, and the conversation came up that you knew about V, and then we started talking more about what you did, and I was fascinated, and then we proceeded to walk out of the nail salon and then continue our conversation in the parking lot. And I knew we were setting up for podcast day today and asked if you would be on, and I'm so thankful with the short notice that you were able to be here. And as I was learning more about you and all the different fascinating layers that you have, I just could not tell you how impressed I am with you and everything. The first thing we started talking about is your nutrition business, Keep Your Plants On, which, by the way, is an adorable, very great name for that business. And we'll go into that. And then your artistry. And I was captivated at what a great artist you are. I mean, you really, really are amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then the snippets of the book and all that. So I'm just trying to tell everybody how thoroughly and truly interested I am about this conversation. So I hope everybody else enjoys it as well as we get into this all.
Yeah. And it was funny too, because as you walked in, I recognized you instantly, and I was just getting my nails done. I said, "Oh, that's Lisa Burwell." And then I was like, "God, if you want me to talk to her, you're going to have to sit her right next to me."
Oh, no, that's funny.
And the woman there, she was actually doing my nails, and she was like, "Can you calm your hands down?" I was like, "No, ma'am, I can't, actually. Unfortunately, I cannot."
Oh, that's funny.
And yeah, it was just such a privilege to get to meet you and converse with you. And I had a beautiful day that day.
I did too. And the funny thing is the salon wasn't busy that day. So really, there were a lot of open seats that we could have, you know, been in different sides of the room, but we were together. So I consider it a God-ordained moment myself too, because it just felt so good getting to know you. The brief bit that I do right now, but hopefully we'll have a long-lasting relationship. So starting out with what you started telling me, you're new to the area in it being the last 4 years, which isn't super new, but and you hail from Miami. And while in Miami, you were basically heavily engaged in your artwork.
Yeah, so I grew up in South Florida, and actually initially just pigeonholed as an athlete. As I was telling you, I played Division I volleyball, and from a young age, like, if you're going to go that route, you go all in, and this is who you're going to be. And then in high school, I actually started getting really into art. I took my first art class and realized there's something to this. I noticed the ability to be able to just take these resources in front of me and repurpose them into something beautiful, magnificent. And when we would go to Miami and we'd see Wynwood Walls, and there's Art Basel, which I never got into, but was always on the outside, like, oh my goodness, who's coming in?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. Okay.
And just to see the life and the creativity of that area was enamoring to me. I just thought it was magnificent. And that was the first time I thought, can I do this? Is this something that's in the cards for me? And then I went to college and then put the brush down because I had initially majored in art and then decided that I would be a starving artist, as I think every artist decides they will be. And And then I went to Liberty University, finished my years playing there, and studied exercise science. And then I went back to school for nutrition. And it allowed me to like lean into this other side of my brain, which for a very long time I felt satisfied, mm-hmm. whole. Like there wasn't any part of me that thought something was missing until we moved down here. And this creative community just kept etching, poking at my heart and saying, come back, come on back. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Wow. So your business, Keep Your Plants On, you founded when?
Full-time launched 4 years ago. Okay. I was coaching clients for the past six, but I was working for other people. I was in a brick and mortar in Virginia, and then I worked in holistic diagnostics and alongside functional medicine doctors, and that was phenomenal. But I wanted something more. I wanted to be able to practice something called bioindividuality, which basically means that I'm going to look at all of you, and every single one of the 600 clients we've worked with will end up eating differently because there are different people with different needs. So I wanted to be able to honor that in a way that I wasn't allowed to in some of the avenues that I was practicing. So I started this 4 years ago, and it was the best decision of my entire life so far. Actually, I should probably say being married was, but right next to it.
Right. So you have amassed 600 clients in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. It is a 12-week program of coaching and tips and whatnot. And tell us a little bit about like the app, and that's very fascinating to me. And sort of like give the listeners and the audience kind of a glimpse into like what will happen in the 12-week program.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we first started, it was a teaching platform. So I would give modules and educational videos, and then I'd have weekly meal prep tutorials, not meal plans, where you can't go off of this, you can't change it or add to it. In fact, I highly encourage that because enjoyment is just this pinnacle for sustainability. So then a year ago, we bought the Keep Your Plants On app. And that has revolutionized that experience so much. So now every single week you get a functional or holistic nutrition education module where we dive into, hey, what is inflammation? What is biofeedback? What is balancing your blood sugar? What does that mean? And it's all supposed to be rooted in, I call it unlearning and relearning, because there's, I'm sure you're aware, so much misinformation in the health industry. And it's usually rooted in seeing food as a form of body manipulation. How can, and it becomes this contractual agreement.
Instead of nourishment?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we get into the diet cycles. Basically, I'm only going to show up for my body when I'm the least dissatisfied with it, or the least satisfied with it. So to be able to rewrite that narrative has been so fulfilling. So when people look at food as something they can do for their body rather than against it, and to just secure that relationship, that's where sustainability actually comes in. So yeah, we have weekly education modules where you'd learn and apply. And then there are weekly grocery lists. There's holistic habit trackers where we can look at your stress levels. We can look at your sleep. We can look at your steps. We can look at whatever it is that we want to really take into account. So we really try to personalize, and we've had incredible feedback so far.
Is that your ring that you were telling me?
Yes, my Aura ring.
So that is what can track all of that too, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So I've been in contact with Aura, and they're, if you're listening, quite stingy about Apple Watch, Garmin, Fitbit, and iPhone, all of those will sync to the Keep Your Plants On app. We haven't gotten Aura to sync yet, but that's next on our agenda.
Okay. Well, that's pretty fascinating. So in general, and I'm asking a hard question here because you can't really generalize all your knowledge and everything, but in some of the reading and listening to some of your own podcasts, by the way, which I forgot to tell the listeners that she has her own podcast, and it's amazing, and it's quite prolific with very educated experts in the field that you've been able to interview, and I found them really, really good interviews too.
Thank you.
I'm kind of I don't love all podcasts, you know? I'm sure nobody does love all podcasts, but I think yours is really, really good, by the way. So in general, what I kind of took away from it from a layman's term was just that stress is such a big part of the whole process. And that, like, the last thing you need is stress about food, right? Because the life is going to throw you a lot of stress to begin with. But one of the things is one of the people that you were interviewing, forgive me for not remembering her name, but you might, is that she was saying, you know, it's okay for you to take some days off. Like, you don't have to, if you want to go to the gym 3 days a week, but then your body is saying, no, I'm too tired right now. And it's okay to rest at home. We don't do that in our culture because we're so wired to, like, reach and attain, I think, goals.
Yeah.
And if I don't go 3 times a week, then I miss my mark. And then that probably causes you stress to begin with, right? So if you could tell a little bit more about, like, that aspect of it too.
Yeah. I mean, in our hustle culture today, we glorify the god of productivity. More is always better. And it's not. So one of my favorite things, and I talk about this in my book, is when we look at this bell-shaped curve where more is better until we see a plateau and then more is worse. And we see this a lot, especially for people who are trying to be as healthy as they can possibly be. They're loading themselves with all of this information, stressing about food, demonizing different foods, stressing about their workouts. And what's really interesting is my niche is I focus on three main areas with clients. That's gut health, hormonal health, and relationship to food and body. And the reason why I focus physiologically on gut and hormonal health is because your body exists on priorities. It's always trying to do the most proficient thing with the energy that it has. And when energy is scarce, it's going to cut out or not pay attention or not allocate energy to non-essential functions, your reproductive system and your digestive system. So when we're incredibly stressed out, which most of us are, those are the first two systems to go. Those are the first symptoms that we start to see. And your symptoms are signals. And that's, like, one of the core pieces of what I like to teach clients is we need to be able to see bloating as a signal, not a flaw, to be able to see digestive issues and skin issues, imbalances in our serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine. Like, these are signals, not flaws of our body, that your body's asking for you to do something differently, to adapt the same way that when you touch a hot stove and we see pain radiating through our nerves, it's not that that pain is wrong. It's a signal to change something in our environment. And so this ideology of silencing our signals is very detrimental. So long story short, when we look at our stress levels, a lot of people think of inflammation coming from, oh, what is it that I'm eating? As if that's the only kind of thing that is causing inflammation in our bodies. And it's not just the food that's coming into our system. We need to also pay attention to the system that that food is entering into. So there's a lot of clients that I've worked with that they think that they can't have gluten. They think that they can't have corn or soy or this or that. And for a season, that might be correct, but it's only because our system is already so inflamed that we're getting such an acute response to the food that we're consuming. So to be able to heal and take away that inflammation, that stress, and give your body the support it needs and go back and be like, oh, I can have butter.
Right.
Oh, I can have this amazing, like, sourdough toast for breakfast. Like, that's so beneficial for people to be able to heal that relationship, come before food and see it for what it really is.
So are you a vegetarian? Do you? No. Okay.
No.
So,
I don't follow any diet.
Okay.
I don't have any, like, major restrictions on food. And if you looked at how I ate, you would probably say she's a mix between a paleo, vegan, then social eater. So social eater is kind of like my way of saying, if the food that I'm eating can drive me closer to the person across from me, I'd like to make that trade-off.
Yeah.
Because food is not just physical.
Right. It's communal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that binds us to people so tangibly.
Breaking bread. This
yes.
is where breaking bread comes from.
Yes. Yes. The very word companion is to break bread with. And it just is sad that we then demonize bread.
Correct.
As if that was never supposed to be eaten at all.
I know. Well, that is fascinating. And you're, I would say, a trailblazer, because in all honesty, I haven't heard this narrative very often. And so you are bringing something totally new to the platform of wellness in a different way. And then your book, which how far into your book are you? That you're almost done, right?
Yeah, so I'm 140 pages in.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm probably three-fourths done. Halfway to three-fourths way done. But then every time I like really read it back, I'm like, oh, we're going to be here for a
while.
How
long have you been writing it?
I've been writing it for 6 months, this version, 9 months altogether.
Yeah, well,
that's funny good. Story there yeah. is I was writing a different book before, and I couldn't really grab traction with this book, and I just knew I wanted to write it. This was a slightly different book than what I've written now, and I was sitting on the porch with my husband, and I was just writing. And it was a glorious day. We're watching the sunset. And then I decided I didn't like this new excerpt that I had written. And I decided to delete it. And it was just a separate document. So I did not... You know where this is going. Unfortunately, you know where this is going. And Word, Microsoft Word had asked me 3 to 4 different times, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you sure you would like to delete this? Mm-hmm. And at this point, it was only like 35 pages in, the other document was. And I was like, yeah, I think I know what I'm doing, Microsoft. I would like to delete this. And I deleted everything.
Oh, wow.
And just panicked for a second. Like, that didn't happen, did it? Uh-huh. And then I resumed to spend the rest of the night in tears, just hysterical tears, and spent $200 on this software that could not get it back. They're non-refundable,
right.
And of course. And long story short, my husband just put me to bed like a small child, like tucked me in that night, right. And just told me, get some sleep. And what kept resonating in my head was, there's a quote in the locker room at the college that I went to, and it said, the measure of a man is what it takes to discourage him. And that always stuck with me because I had always identified myself as someone who was very easily discouraged. And I just repeated that over and over and over. And I was already so insecure about, why do I think I could be an author? I can't be what am I doing? I'm in my 20s. This is stupid. And I woke up at 5:30 the next morning and started writing this new book. This new book that is a million times better than the old book.
That's amazing.
And I would have just kept pushing. Mm-hmm. That's what's so funny is I would have kept pushing. I would have been 200 pages into my old book now and wouldn't have been in love with it, but I felt like it was this necessary removal.
Reboot.
To say, start over. Yeah. I think you have something, but that's not it.
Right. Tell everybody the name of the book.
Maybe We Have This Wrong, and it focuses on the perversion of food, movement, and community, how it makes us sick, shackled, and how to get back to countercultural health.
That's amazing. That this is going to be a bestseller because it's like you're going in the opposite direction of where everyone is going.
Yeah.
But you have the information and the research and living it in your own life to back it up. So it's going to be, I think, really liberating for a lot of people.
Thank you.
I adopted a very similar approach to this on my own in the last year and a half because I was one of those people that was totally into, I have to get my 3 times in and I have to eat like this and I shouldn't be eating butter. And I did the whole thing for a couple of years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of gave myself a hall pass just because I wanted to. And I feel that nothing detrimental happened to me. I only feel better than I did before. And I don't overeat, but I do eat what I want as well. And if my body's tired, I don't go to the gym because I have to rest. So much about what you just said completely resonates with my walk, but I was one of the other people that was like in a military, I felt like I was in military workout boot camp all the time with the things that I was reading that I had to do.
Yeah.
And so you find your way sometimes on your own, but sometimes you don't, which is why you need people to like help you find your way.
Yeah.
You're a speaker on Blue Zones, which I'm fascinated with that website and how incredibly prolific their mission statement is. Tell me how you got to be a speaker on that and a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people see that even with Blue Zones, and they're like, ah, oh, you're so lucky that just landed in your lap.
Of course.
So about 5 years ago, Dan Buettner had actually come to speak at the school that I was going to for nutrition. And I loved his message. I loved it. I instantly started researching everything about Blue Zones. I knew I wanted to be a part of this. This was before I had launched Keep Your Plants On full time. Mm-hmm. And I was honestly kind of looking for a rope. Like, hey, I'm not confident enough to do this on my own, but I'd love to be a part of something big, something exciting. And so I reached out to them, emailed them, nothing. Emailed them again, nothing. Sent them so I actually emailed them different things 5 different times with no response. And then I packaged up this box of these like refrigerated and insulated, they're called Bliss Balls. And Blue Zones is very known for like recommending a cup of nuts a day, a cup of beans a day, just because these are how the people, and I'll get into this, but the people in these cultures actually live. So I made a recipe with some of the most consistent ingredients in these cultures, and I packaged it up and I sent them this, you're gonna laugh at me, but I sent them this card, and on one side there was the recipe, and it was the Bliss Balls recipe, and on the back was my resume, and in the cover letter I said, you have the recipe for the Bliss Balls, but also your recipe for success. I said those words.
Wow.
I just went for it.
Love it.
And I didn't hear back at all. And that was disarming and frustrating. And then a couple months later, so this is over the course of about a year and a half, mind you. So a couple months later, I reached out to them again because I was writing all these goals. And I was 22 at the time. I had my 5-year plan. And I was writing out all these goals. And I had just watched, have you ever seen the documentary Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat? Love that documentary. Love the woman who walks through all of these different cultures and explains them, gets you just fixated and enamored with living in a different way, which is what I'm trying to preach, is there's a better way. And so I pitched, and the headline was Blue Zones Netflix documentary. Pitched all of this and thought, hey, we should do the same thing, but Blue Zone should be there. I have no right to say this, but I'd love to be involved. Yes. But like just pitched. Yes. And I got an email back within 2 hours from the president of Blue Zones. And it wasn't Dan Buettner. It was another member of the staff. But it was very alarming to get a response from him. And apparently Netflix had reached out to them 2 days before. 2 days before, Netflix had reached out to them to do this. And he had thought that I was a part of that. And he was like, and if you're not, this is just uncanny and strange and we should get on a call. And so long story short, we just kept this relationship blossoming. He kept introducing me to different people in the organization. And it was funny because some of the people that I had emailed 72 roughly times. It was just, I'm introducing, I'm like, oh, I'm Lindsay Tobias. Does that ring a bell? And then I got connected with the chief design officer who he's in charge of international retreats. So the first offer they made for me before I started Keep Your Plants On was, will you be involved with domestic retreats? Can you head that up, build this team? And it was a dream.
Wow.
I was so excited. I said yes right on the spot. And this was the year before COVID started. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened. Mm-hmm. What is it called that I'm thinking of? Where you sign...
your contract?
Yes.
Or
yes. Okay. That's the word. Yeah. I never got the contract. Yeah. And after a while, my husband and I waited like 8 months where I was still working for the holistic diagnostics and just waiting, just with open hands saying like,
where is it?
Do it. Mm-hmm. And it never came. There was a bunch of reasons why it didn't come. And long story short, I decided to tell them, I'm going to go full time, Keep Your Plants On. Mm-hmm. I still love what you're doing. I want to be involved in it whenever you're ready.
Right.
And he came back a year later and said, we can't do domestic retreats, COVID, everything's locked down, but can you speak for us? And so now I get to actually do both, which is an insane dream. I just spoke in La Jolla for them, and it's quite funny because the whole mission of Blue Zones is it's the five areas of the world. National Geographic fellow Dan Buettner found the five areas of the world that are living the longest, healthiest lives. More specifically, the highest number of centenarians, which are people who are living over 100. And so longevity is kind of the key. And then to see someone speaking to a group, and I always start off with, I know that I look young, but I'm actually 72 years old. And that normally like
breaks the ice.
Gets the awkwardness out.
That is so funny. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So your art, we're just kind of wrapping up here. We could have several parts, 2, 3, and 4 to this, and maybe we will do that because you have so many things. I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you're an art. I mean, you're just, you know, like we were talking, I love it when people don't live in a box and they don't need to be defined by like only one thing, you know, like as humans, you can only pick one thing that you can be or do, you know, which is, I don't know where that came from, but it's not true.
Yeah.
And obviously you're a living testament to that. But your art's really great too, and I'm glad that you're doing that again. And I know through some sort of narrative on one of your Instagram platform, you're doing commission work for people, and you're still, you know, involved in that. And I have an idea after the show I want to talk to you about on that your art too. But we want to have you in the magazine, showcasing your work and everything in all areas that you're doing right now. If there's anything, because what I like to do on these podcasts is have it be meat and fruitful and feed the soul. Is there some sort of tip or words of wisdom that you can give to people right now to sort of like give them a key to unlock whatever? Stress, being stuck, which so many people are stuck a lot. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I love this question. I feel like it's interesting because I feel so ill-equipped to answer this question, while really everyone is, and everyone just is at a different point in their journey. But I do believe that everyone just has, and because I'm an artist, this is just the way that this makes sense to me, but everyone has their own palette in front of them. And some people paint in black and white, some people paint in only primary colors, and some people have a full spectrum. But I know growing up, I was surrounded by a lot of people that only painted in black and white or primary colors, and that's how they wanted to paint me. And I let them. And if I could go back, I am thankful that I don't feel like I wasted so much time, but if I could go back, I would kind of take that paintbrush from them and say, you know, you're not seeing this color over here. You're not seeing that color. And Elizabeth Gilbert, I talked to you about her book a little bit because it was very healing for me, actually, to hear someone else verbalizing what I feared, to hear someone else verbalizing this idea of being multi-passionate, this idea of having more inside of you than you felt like you were offering in just one arena. But she had talked about how when we look at like these mosaics of people in front of us, and if we're asking our art to be the only thing that we are, if we're asking our art to financially provide for us, then we're going to start to resent it. And if we're asking our hobby to be the thing that keeps our house up, then we're going to resent it. So it's actually been very freeing to be able to do all these different things, because it's allowed me to not say, this is where I put all of my weight, this is where I hinge my worth, my value, everything. It's almost this like ebb and flow, this play. And that's another thing that she dives into, is like to pursue curiosities. And when I met you, and we talked about this a little bit before, but I have had this conversation, but if I had said to you like, oh, well, I would love to do this, and I'm interested in this, and I think I could do this over here, it wouldn't have been very meaningful to you, because with the resources I had, I wasn't faithful. And I've had that conversation, that slap in the face, many a times. So if I could just slap someone in the face right now and say, just be faithful with the resources in front of you without demanding more. Because those next resources, those next steps will only come when
and
you do it.
And to put one step in front of the other, and that's what my mantra is for my own life and what I preach too, because Rome wasn't built in a day and nothing happens overnight, but you have to keep walking.
Yeah.
Take the step and keep walking.
Yeah.
Well, you've been a delight, and I love this conversation, and I hope, and I know everybody else does too. So, Lindsay, Tobias, you're amazing. Thank you for being here, and we'll hope to have you back on many levels. Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.